Welcome to Behind the Headlines, your daily look at some of the stories our reporters have been covering across the UK today. Now, I haven't got much of a voice today, feeling pretty crook, but I'll take you through some of the reports that they've sent from the scene of a story or have a bit of a chat with a reporter. A bit more detail than we're able to bring you in our hourly news bulletins. Today, we're in the happiest place to live in the UK, finding out what makes it so great.
People are very friendly. The shops are good.
I've never been happier.
We speak to the Transport Secretary for the latest plans for some of our rail operators. And after the Turner Prize, we're at the spoof Turnip Prize announcement. But we start with the latest on killer nurse Lucy Letby. You'll remember that the 34-year-old former neonatal nurse is in prison for murder and attempted murder. Well, now, Cheshire Police have confirmed she's been interviewed under caution about suspicious baby deaths at a second hospital. Our reporter Liam Arrowsmith has been covering the story for us today. Liam, first, remind us of exactly why she's currently in prison.
Well, Letby's currently serving 15 whole life orders for murdering seven babies and trying to kill another seven while at the Countess of Chester Hospital. Those offences took place between June 2015 and June 2016, and it's those that she was convicted of last year. However, there is a wider investigation going on into the care Letby provided to some 4,000 babies during her career. That involves two placements at Liverpool Women's Hospital when she was a student.
And what do we know about what she's been questioned about most recently?
Well, we believe this is the first time police have spoken to Letby about those placements she did at Liverpool Women's. Those cases weren't part of her first trial, which led to her convictions. We know she voluntarily attended this interview. She wasn't arrested and she was interviewed in a prison cell, but police haven't said when. Cheshire Constabulary says they'll release an update when it's appropriate.
And this evening, a lawyer for Letby says she maintains her innocence. Still to come, we're in the happiest town in Britain.
100%. Have you seen me?
You're very smiley. It's lovely.
And we've got reaction to Wales reaching next year's Women's Euros.
Those little girls, they now have their role models.
But first, it's been confirmed three train companies will be nationalised next year. South Western Railway, C2C and Greater Anglia will transfer to public ownership when existing contracts expire. Our reporter Claire Bode has been finding out more.
I'm stood at Waterloo Station looking at the hundreds of passengers and countless South Western Railway trains leaving here every day. New Transport Secretary Heidi Alexander told us renationalising South Western Rail was an important moment.
This is all designed to drive up reliability, punctuality, improve services for passengers and clamp down on those delays, cancellation, the waste, the inefficiency.
With the rail line now set to become the first fully nationalised rail company under the Labour government, do the plans have the backing of passengers? Well, I've been finding out.
Can't get any worse than it is at the moment. After the last few weeks of cancellations, lateness, it's just a car crash. The government can't do any worse than the private company is doing already.
So I've been travelling on this line for 30 years and it has got worse and worse. So I would support a national service.
This is a huge network. So they will certainly have their work cut out.
South Western Railway is the first of three train companies to be renationalised next year, with the Department for Transport taking control of the rail company when its current contract expires next May.
We're at the Turnip Prize later, but first to the happiest place in Britain. Apparently, it's Woodbridge in Suffolk. That's according to research by Rightmove, who've looked at things like community spirit, the friendliness of people, and access to essential services such as doctors or schools. Last year's winner, Richmond upon Thames, came second, followed by Hexham in Northumberland, another previous winner. Our Suffolk reporter, Jasmine Oak, headed to Woodbridge for us to see if the research is accurate.
Woodbridge has been named the happiest place to live in the UK. Would you agree?
Yeah, I should imagine so. I've been happy here and lived here all my life, so I hadn't really thought about moving away, so I must be happy. And yeah, it is a lovely place to live.
Well, I'm happy. Yes, I would say most people are, because we're still a proper town, you know, a market town with proper shops and, yeah, lots of things to do. We've got the river. We're only about 20 minutes from the coast. You're surrounded by countryside. So you've got swimming pools, you've got a theatre, cinema. So, yeah, we're happy.
Now, Woodbridge has been named the happiest place to live in the whole of the UK. Would you agree?
Definitely. Yeah, I've lived in Woodbridge for about almost 20 years now, and I've never been happier. people, the atmosphere. You know, it's a really close community, and people sort of know each other, support each other, and yeah, everyone lives as a big happy family. It sounds really cheesy, but I feel like that.
Well, not lived everywhere, so I don't really know, but it's a chirpy little place, interesting people, mixed people.
So Woodbridge has been called the happiest place to live in the UK. Would you agree?
100%. Have you seen me?
You're very smiley. It's lovely.
Yeah, Woodbridge is very nice. It's a very beautiful place to live. People are very happy. They're very jolly.
Oh, isn't that nice to hear? I have actually been to Woodbridge, but all I can remember about it is it does have some very nice pubs. Well, next tonight, the most southerly post office in mainland Britain, which is in Cornwall, has closed today. The historic Lizard Post Office has shut for good due to the tenants retiring. Our senior reporter Megan Price was there on its last day.
Hiya. It's the end of an era here, with lots of people coming in to do their last-minute jobs before it shuts for good.
My name is Leonard Trott, usually known as Len. There's so much history in this place. It was built in 1897 as a post office and actually opened in 1898.
After almost 40 years, Len and Linda Trott have made the difficult decision to retire, and it means that locals here will have to travel further afield to get to a post office.
Because we're the most southerly village, so the most southerly post office, we're quite a close-knit community.
They're always so very pleasant and helpful.
For a lot of the more elderly residents as well, it's somewhere to go. You can do your banking here.
Although the future remains uncertain, owners are hopeful someone will take on their much-loved business.
Now, and although this isn't the cause of the closure in the Lizard, it does come as another blow for local post offices, because around 115 branches are set to close across the UK by 2030 as part of a cost-cutting effort. Next tonight, Wales women have made football history by reaching a major tournament for the first time. They beat the Republic of Ireland 2-1 in Dublin last night to win their Euros playoff 3-2 on aggregate. We've been speaking with former Wales player Karen Jones, and we asked her what impact she thinks last night's result will have on future generations.
The fans now can see it. Those little girls, they now have their role models. They can see it. And as they say, if you can see it and you can touch it, you can also be a part of it. And I think for the youngsters at the games, it's amazing.
And we asked Karen what she thought of last night's match.
Oh, absolutely incredible. It was nail-biting. It had everything. And I think that today the whole nation is certainly proud of the girls. There's certainly people who are involved in sport, and especially in the women's game. It was absolutely incredible.
And finally, the winner of the annual Turner Prize for Contemporary Art has been announced, but so too has the Spoof Turnip Award. More on that in a second. But first, Scotland's Sikh community is celebrated by the winner of this year's prestigious Turner Prize. Jasleen Kaur's display Alta Alta was first shown in Glasgow's Tramway Gallery in 2023 before it was moved to Tate Britain in London. Assistant curator of Tramway, Alexander Story Gordon, says it's all very exciting.
The way that Jasleen interrogates those ideas around identity and experience in our time was both open and was very specific. I think it's a really beautiful moment for Pollock Shields in general to see themselves represented, to see that recognised and that experience understood, and see that connection with an audience that's wider than the audience here at Tramway was incredibly exciting, and it's wonderful news for Jasleen.
But as well as the Turner Prize, the Turnip Prize, which pokes fun at modern art, was announced on the same night at a pub in Somerset. Our chief reporter, Andrew Kay, was there.
It was 26 years ago when the competition started, after friends in a pub saw Tracy Emin's Unmade Bed get nominated for the Turner Prize and later sell for millions, and thought, well, if that's art, let's have a go ourselves. While the renowned Turner Prize remains the highest honour in the British arts world, the turnips go to the entry with the least amount of effort. For example, in front of me there's a clock with a spring in it called Springtime. There's some flies next to a clock with the title Time Flies. and a blown-up balloon with the title Inflation. This year's winner was Penny Wallace.
My entry was tax increases in a shirt. I'm actually really pleased. I know I should be underwhelmed.
The Spieth competition has continued to grow, and there's been so many entries from right around the world, the pub started running out of space to display them. Organiser Trevor Pridhoe tells me they've had to take drastic steps this year.
One of the entries this year came all the way in from California, and it cost $74.90 to send, but sadly one of the rules we introduced was no paper entries. So the minute it arrived was a paper entry and we had to disqualify it.
One of the runners-up, Kevin Dix, tells me even though it's clearly a spoof competition, he thinks it does still connect with people.
Because if you look at the finalists, they all had something very special to say. We have this about the post office scandal, which has affected loads of people and people got a lot of opinions on. The Sycamore Gap, which everyone was absolutely outraged about. And then we got inflation, tax increases, where it actually means something to the people.
I'm told all of the entries need to be collected soon or they're being thrown in the skip.
And you can find out more on these and other stories on the news pages of our radio station websites, or we're across all the usual social media channels. And don't forget to come back here or wherever you get your podcasts for another roundup of some of the day's top and most interesting stories on Behind the Headlines.